Good morning, everybody. I'd like to read to you today a portion of a work by the 19th century English churchman J.C. Ryle. Ryle is best known to us for the book entitled Holiness, but that book wasn't actually written by him as a monograph. It's a compilation of smaller books that he wrote, all on the subject having to do with sanctification. Those smaller works were called tracts in his time. Ryle was known as the prince of the tract writers. He authored over 200 of them. When you and I think of a tract, we're primarily thinking of something that's very small, about the size of a 3x5 card and amounting to about 4 pages. But in Ryle's day, those tracts could run to many scores of pages. I'd like to read to you today from one that I have in my possession, I'm holding in my hand. It was published in 1851. At that point, it was in its 8th edition, and it was the 40,000 of them that had been published. It's entitled Remember Lot. And Ryle points out at the very beginning that Lot was a true believer, a real child of God, a justified soul, a righteous man. 2 Peter 2, verses 7 and 8 assure us of that. And not just that he was a righteous man, but he was vexed in his soul with the unlawful deeds of the world that he saw around him. The scripture says that that vexation was because of what he saw and what he heard. And what Ryle is concerned to do in this tract is to point out that there's no doubt that Lot was a child of God, and that when the angels came and warned him of the judgment to come upon Sodom, that he was believing of those facts. And yet, the scripture records in Genesis 19:16 that Lot lingered. Ryle writes, Lot knew that God was a God who always kept his word, and if he said a thing, he would surely do it. He could hardly be Abraham's nephew and live long with Abraham and not be aware of this, and yet he lingered. Lot believed there was danger because he went to his sons-in-law and he warned them to flee. Up, he said, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. And yet he lingered. Lot saw the angels of God standing there waiting for him and his family to go forth, and yet he lingered. And he heard the voice of those ministers of wrath ringing in his ears to hasten him. Arise, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And yet he lingered. Lot was slow when he should have been quick. He was backward when he should have been forward. He trifled when he should have hastened. It seems almost incredible. And yet the Spirit of God writes it down for our learning. And yet, reader, there are many of the Lord Jesus Christ people very like Lot. And I repeat it, that there may be no mistake about my meaning. I've shown you that Lot lingered, and I say that there are many Christian men and Christian women in this very day who are like Lot. There are many real children of God who appear to know far more than they live up to. They see far more than they practice, and they continue in this state for many years. They hold that Christ and the truth are right. They like sound preaching. They assent to every article of Christian doctrine which they hear. But still, there is an indescribable something which is not satisfactory about them. They're constantly doing things which disappoint the expectations of their ministers and of their more mature Christian friends. It's really a marvel that they should think the way they do, and yet that they should just stand still. They believe in heaven, and yet they seem to faintly long for it. They believe in hell, yet they seem to have little fear of it. They do love the Lord Jesus, but the work that they do for him is very small. They know the time is short, but they live as if it was long. They know they have a battle to fight, yet a man might think that they were at peace. What should we say of these people? They often puzzle their godly friends and relatives, and they often cause great anxiety, and they give rise to great doubts and searchings of heart. But they may be classed under one sweeping description. They are all the brethren and sisters of Lot. They linger. These are those who get the notion into their minds that it's really not possible for all believers to really be holy and spiritual. They consent that holiness is a beautiful thing. They like to read about it in books and even to see it occasionally in other people. But they don't think that they are meant to aim at so high a standard. At any rate, they seem to make up their minds that it's beyond their reach. And these are the people who get it into their heads to have a very false view of love, as they call it. They want to please everybody and suit everybody and be agreeable to everybody. But they forget that they ought first to be sure that they please God. These are those who dread sacrifice. They shrink from self-denial. They never appear able to apply our Lord's command to cut off the right hand and pluck out the right eye. Instead, they spend their lives trying to make the gate more wide and the cross more light. But of course, they never succeed. And these are the people who are always trying to keep in with the world. They're ingenious in discovering reasons for not separating decidedly and in framing up plausible excuses for attending questionable amusements and keeping up questionable friendships. One day you're told that they were attending a Bible reading. The next day you'll hear that they've gone to a dance. They're constantly laboring to persuade themselves that to mix a little bit with worldly people on worldly people's own ground certainly does some good. But if you look at these people, in their case, it's very clear that it does not do them any good. It only does them harm. And these are the people who just cannot seem to get it into their heart to really quarrel with their besetting sins, whether those sins are sloth or ill temper or pride or selfishness or impatience, whatever they may be. They allow these sins to remain tolerably quiet and undisturbed in their hearts. And they say it's really just their health or their temperament or their trials or something else. Their father or their mother or their grandmother was this way before them. They're sure that they cannot help themselves. And if it's a year or so before you see them again, you'll find that it's the same thing all over again when you do. And you can sum all of them up in one single sentence. They are the brethren and sisters of Lot. They linger. Friend, are you a lingerer? Has your heart felt heavy sometimes and your conscience sore? Doesn't something within you whisper, I'm the man? Reader, listen to what I'm asking. How is it with your soul? If you are a lingerer, you need to go to Christ at once and be cured. And you must use the old remedy. You must bathe in the old fountain. You must turn again to Christ and be healed. And the way to do a thing is to do it. Do it at once. And don't think for a moment that your case is past recovery. Don't think that because you've been for a long time like this in a dry state of soul, that there's no hope of revival. Isn't the Lord Jesus Christ an appointed physician for the soul? Didn't he cure every form of disease? Didn't he cast out every kind of demon? Didn't he raise poor backsliding Peter and put a new song in his mouth? Don't doubt. Earnestly believe that he will revive his work within you. But you must turn from your lingering. and confess your foolishness and come at once to Christ. Blessed are the words of the prophet, only acknowledge thine iniquity. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Jeremiah 3, verses 13 and 22. And I read that this evening and couldn't help but think of the words that we discovered in the 29th chapter of Jeremiah this last Lord's Day morning, when God said, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. And dear people, it really is time to ask the Lord, to plead with God, to unite our hearts. And when we do, we will be found of him. How can we linger another day? May God help us.